Hi everyone, I'm Jeroen. I'm going to tell you something about parsing SOM files really fast, and I work for NLNet Labs. So some numbers. There's some caveats here. So the 50, I did not do measurements because I made finish the slides like today. So I did the measurements on the train. So, but I think the 50 megabytes is actually slower. I'm pretty sure the 700 megabytes is correct, and we will go beyond. And I'm going to tell you how. So So basically, the motivation is that currently the parser NSD isn't very fast, and we have an operator where SOM loading takes the better part of an hour. And at that point, it stops being practical. That's the motivation. And I actually like to take you on a journey so that I went through. I will also show you the new algorithms, but I also want to tell you why parsing SOM files currently in NSD at least is really slow. And to do that, I have to tell you a bit on parsing. So I've included an example with a Hello World C program. And the NSD parser is based on LexinYAK, and that's really useful if you want to parse things like a computer language where each token has a meaning in and of itself. For SOM files, however, that is definitely not the case. So if you look at the, also in this case I provide as an example, but everyone in the room will probably make out that on the last line I try to define an A record with a corresponding IP address, and then what the SOM parser actually does is it takes the A, it makes that the owner, and then throws a syntax error because, well, an IP address is not really a valid record type, obviously. LexinYAK is really not a good choice, but then there's also the fact that I think SOM files are only more or less standardized. They're not really standardized, putting mildly. And when you combine the two, that just leads to a lot of trouble. First thing I did was analyze why the current parser is slow. And the current parser is slow, it's actually inherent to the tooling because they're just not a good fit. Because what the Lexer does is it gives you each token and then passes on to the parser. But it does so by matching a whole bunch of inputs and then taking the longest one, the longest match, and then executing the corresponding action, which in the case of the NSD SOM file parser means that you can, that it copies the token, then tries to unescape it, and for names it needs the dots right because they have meaning in domain names. And what it does there is that it actually splits the input and parses each label separately. That is, of course, copied, and the parser then concatenates that all back together, and that is not really a fast process. So my first thought was, what if I just change the process a bit and scrap LexinYAK and cut all the memory allocations? And that gave us better numbers, but they're not the numbers that I wanted to see, right? Because 180 megabytes you can express it in gigabytes a second, but then it becomes even less impressive, right, than 100 megabytes a second. So I started looking into that, and I will show you the algorithms that I used and I came up with in a minute. But to make you understand why these algorithms work, it's important that each and every one of you knows that your CPU is a pipeline CPU, and all modern CPUs are pipeline CPUs. And what that means is that executing each instruction is not a single step, it's actually a multi-stage process. So there's a fetch and decode step, and there's a lot more to it in practice. But this is a mechanism that was designed so that you to optimize performance in the CPU, and the premise on getting fast code is that you keep the pipeline nice and full. That does not always happen, especially, or one case where that doesn't happen is when you get a pipeline stall, and that happens essentially when there's when the next instruction that you want to execute depends on the result of the instruction that you're currently executing. And in that case, the CPU has to stall the pipeline. It has to wait until the result is written back. It can then go on to decode and then only then execute your instruction. And you'll take a hit of a couple cycles. Then there's, of course, the well-known pipeline flushes. And those happen essentially if there's a conditional jump, for instance, an if statement, and the CPU goes on to load the instructions that come after that. And if it turns out that it actually needs to execute other instructions, then it needs to flush the pipeline, and only then can it go on to execute your code. And there's branch prediction that is used to improve the flow. And modern CPUs actually do a pretty good job of that, but well, it's prediction, so it's not always right. And it turns so if we look at that information, then we can analyze why a parser is, the process of parsing is just inherently slow, because if we go over it byte by byte, like the NSDZone parser, for example, then before you can analyze the next byte, you have to wait until you have to resolve the new state of your current byte. And also, it turns out that as far as the CPU is concerned, the zone files are just random, right? That anything can happen at any time, so it's hard to predict branches in that case. Right, so the base of the new instructions that I'm using at base is a thing called SIMD, or single instruction multiple data. And my interest in all of this was really sparked by the SIMD-JSON project. And it caught my attention because they express the throughput in gigabytes a second. Now, in the next slide, I'm going to tell you something about the algorithms, but I'm not going to go into them in great depth because there's not a whole lot of time. So if you want to know more on that, then I would advise you to watch the talk or just read the paper. But yeah, SIMD, what that is actually an instruction set, and what it does is it adds vector registers and instructions to operate on those registers. And what that allows us to do is to classify blocks instead of just bytes. And there's some trickery involved. And there's a super simple example on the slide. But basically, yeah, we can classify 16, 32, or 64 bytes in one go, depending on your CPU. And then we repeat that multiple times for each input that we actually want to know about. And the idea is that we can cut branches and dependencies. So what's good to know about SIMD is that it's all vertical, non-horizontal. So it's really an instruction that is executed for each of the inputs. So you can actually do logic in SIMD. And the way to work around that is to convert the inputs to a mask. So we would get a 64-bit bit mask for each of the inputs that we checked. And with those bit masks in hand, then the first thing that we are going to do is to classify all the escape bits, because there's some files allow for escaping. And this is actually an algorithm that the SIMD-JSON guys came up with. And basically what we do is that for each uneven number of backslashes, we take the next character. And so that bit then represents the character that is actually escaped. And we need that information so that we can identify the quoted sections, or in the case of some zone files, also the comment sections. And this was actually kind of a hard problem, because they don't have this problem in JSON documents, but in zone files, comments can cancel out quoted sections, and quoted sections can contain semicolons, and then new lines, they delimit comments, but we only want the new lines that actually delimit the comment, because what we really want to do is that we want to find out which of the characters that we identify as structural characters are contained in quoted sequences or in comments. And there's a simple example in the bottom there. So, I did a number of experiments, but in the end, it turned out that if there's a semicolon in there in the input, we just branch. So we have a slow path, assuming that there's not too many comments in strong files, which for generated strong files, I guess it's okay. And once we have that information, all the bits that remain automatically belong to the non-quoted strings. And this is oversimplifying it, but if we shift right and do an XOR, then that would get us all the transitions. And with that information, we can then go on to create indexes of those. Because your CPU does not only provide SIMD instructions, it also provides bit manipulation instructions, really fast bit manipulation instructions. So the first thing that it does is it takes the population count to find out how many transitions are actually in your input block. And then we use the trailing zero count to find out the relative position of the bit. And if we combine it with the index, then that should give us the a pointer to the exact input byte. And there's some more trickery involved here because, of course, for zone files, if there's an error, we want to report that error. And to do that, we need a line count. And quoted sections, of course, may contain just new lines. But we don't want to worry about those in the parser because that would that would mean that each parse function would possibly need to update a line count, and that would just not be very convenient. So what we do there is we take an unlikely branch if there's a new line in the quoted section, which really doesn't happen. It's an edge case in the case of some files. And we take the slow path to count all the new lines in the input, or at least the one in the quoted sections. And then once we generate a token for the actual delimiting new line, we add the number of new lines that we found in quoted sections. Yeah, and that gives us, basically that gives us a fast scanner. In my initial measurements, and I think it's a little bit faster now, that would get me a scanning of 2 gigabytes a second for some files, at least with an older .com zone, et cetera, et cetera. So there's caveats there too. But it turns out that the rest of the DNS data, because we, of course, we have to parse it, we only now tokenized it, we also have to parse it. The rest of the DNS data allows for optimizations using SIMD as well. And of course, we want to start with the data that occurs the most, and that's, of course, domain names. And with the SIMD instructions, we actually just repeat the scanning process. We quickly identify all the dots. We turn that into a bit mask and then use the bit manipulation instructions to go over the domain name, because most of the time, if we just fill in the length on the dot, then that would give us a proper Y format. And of course, there's a slow path for edge cases as well there. And next, of course, is the record type. And normally, I guess you would hash. I initially just used binary search, which is faster than just linear search, of course, but that took away quite some performance. So we want a perfect, actually we want a hash, but then a hash table is pretty big, and so I figured I want a perfect hash, and it turns out we can do that. So if you take the first character of the record, because there's not that many record types, right? And there's certainly, if you take the first character, there's never more than that many record, never more than like 8 or 9 record types that start with the first letter. So if you then take the last character and add the length, then it turns out that doesn't give me any collisions. So we can alter the hash if collisions occur, but I mean, for all the record types in 40 years, it doesn't give me collisions, so I guess we're good on that front.
This is weird, with type, with a number.
No, for each record type.
Can you repeat the question, otherwise the people at home won't hear it.
Ah, someone asked if this only works for record types that end in a number, and the answer is no. It works for all record types because they're all closely, they're all really close together, right? So they're alphanumeric most of the time. Sometimes there's numbers. So if you just, I think, our uppercase or downcase it, and then multiply to get a good distribution, and then just add length, and that gives me a that gives me a unique key without collisions, and from there I can just do a use and D instruction to do compare equal, so I can do the exact right string compare, and that gives me a really nice nice speed up. And the people who worked on SIMD.json actually do a lot of did a lot of projects like using SIMD for decoding Base64. So the plan is to incorporate all those things as well. And then there's one tricky part. Your CPU actually supports multiple instruction sets, at least if you have modern CPU. If you have like a Pentium 4, then you only get SSE 4.2. But we want our software to be able to run on all those devices without recompiling. So we actually compiled it 4 times. In the case of x86, then use the CPU ID instruction to pick the right one. And then, well, it's still an in-progress project. I have hoped to be a little bit further along, but unfortunately not. It will be a standalone library because it might actually be useful to other people. And that will make it easy to integrate into other projects. It was initially just intended for NSD. The numbers are so far pretty good, at least quite a bit better than what we have now. I think it's possible to go to 1 gigabyte a second. So if you want to check it out, there's a link in there. And finally, I want to, there's a slide with acknowledgement because these people helped me a lot. I just send them unsolicited email at first, and then I happened to get answers back, and they helped me, and they even took a look at my presentation and helped me there as well. So thanks to Jeff, Daniel, and all the SIMD.json people. And with that, I actually finished in time. It's time for questions. Yes?
My question was clear. What I'm wondering about is the hash collisions of the name, the types which are encoded as the word type followed by a number.
Oh no, but that's the slow path. Yeah, there and exactly there the hash doesn't work, but that's the slow path. So we do a slow path. Sorry, I should repeat the question. What the person in the audience was actually referring to, what happens if we use a generic type notation where we start the type by type followed by a number, and obviously it doesn't work there, but that's the slow path, so we have a slow path there. Yeah?
Is the process so complete that it can parse an output and you get the same output as you parsed in?
Really good, because I would forget. So if the parser is good enough that to give you the exact same output as you put in, no, it does not do that.
Is there still some corner cases or?
Do you mean by to white space exact or just? Yeah, no, it doesn't do that. No, and then, but that's also not...
So it strips white space, but it doesn't strip comments.
It does also strip comments, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes?
How do you handle escape decimals? Because in the example you gave, you strip, you have look where the backslashes are,
yeah,
and then take the next character. But if you have like backslash 003, then you need those 4 characters as a single unit.
Really good. Yeah, you're gonna have to. I hope there's no more questions because you're gonna have to keep doing that. But so what happens if I guess for a certain type of input,
In record data, you can stick like a /003, which encodes the byte with a value 3, a single byte.
Yeah.
How do you do that with your algorithm that just takes the next character when you have backslashes?
But that's just to, so the question is, what do I do with escape characters or with escape sequences? And so what I explained on the, what I do, what happens with the backslashes is just to tokenize. So I don't strip any data, I just mark out the starts and the ends of each string field, and then the parsing comes after that. So there's no data actually stripped.
Just to find the start and end.
Yeah.
Sorry if I missed it, but what's the output format? Is this just to memory, or is this to store in a database, like in a binary format?
Yeah. So the question is, so the question is, what's the output format? And the output format in this case is just DNS wire format. So the idea here is that for each record, it will invoke a callback, and it will just give you wire format with pointers to where all the fields are in the an internal description of the field, so that you know the length and the type of the field. Yeah.
Using the same method you used to convert to SIMD instructions, would there be any benefit to GPU accelerating it, or is there no value to larger
vectors? There is definitely value to larger vectors because it takes less instructions. So if you can do something, I did not look into using the GPU, but yeah, that might benefit. So if you
have you looked into using something like LLVM pipe that can be generic over vector sizes?
No, I have not. No.
Maybe to the uninitiated, why does parsing SOM files have to be fast? Is it something that you do very often?
So the question is, this is really good. why does parsing SOM files have to be fast? Well, because they get reloaded quite a lot of times. Each time there's an update to a zone, you need to reload. You need to reload the zone. So we wonder, so that happens multiple times. Like an hour, it differs per zone, right? But in our case, if it takes more than an hour and the operator actually, or it takes the better part of an hour and the operator wants to reload more often, then that becomes a problem, right? So we just need to be faster. But then there's all the, and so there's other benefits as well. So NSD, for instance, we support zone verification, where just before the zone goes live, you can invoke a program to verify that your DNSSEC data is correct. And there you can use an AXFR, or you can let the NSD feed you the zone data, in which case you just get text representation. And if the zone is big enough, then you want that to be fast because it's in the critical path, right?
Last question over there.
Yeah.
Is splitting the files and multi-threading something you considered?
The question was if splitting the files and multi-threading is something that we considered. Well, splitting the files, no. But
new lines and split on them.
Split on them, yeah. New lines. That can be tricky because some files can contain parentheses, which would then mean that the record continues on the next line. But a colleague actually did do a parallel zone loading implementation. And I guess we can even do that with this implementation, right? Because there it was actually quite a bit faster. But the scanning process still takes a long time because you go over it byte by byte. But now that we have a fast scanner, there's no reason why we cannot also include parallel parsing. Right. Yeah, that could work. Yeah?
Yes. Did you do any experiments of actually saving this into the database, like something relational maybe? And if you did, what impact did that have on the performance?
So the question is, if we did